3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Todd Furman joins us from Las Vegas. Talk about point spreads and whatnot. What's up, Todd?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Thankfully, we were one of the only parts of the country didn't have to deal with rain, so it's business as usual out here in the desert after a tremendous NFL week one.
So South Carolina or Kentucky is going to be 3-0 after this week. Who do you think it'll be?
I really think it'll be South Carolina. Now, that being said, I'm not sure I'm running to the window to lay just under a touchdown with the Gamecocks, but you look at this Kentucky team, and they've been racked with injuries. On the offensive line, you've seen these skill position players get banged up, and a team that a lot of people thought could be a dark horse had looked anything but the role so far this season. South Carolina, on the other side, they're about as fortunate as you can be in college football when you get outgained and outstatted in both of your matchups, yet win those things convincingly. You look at what South Carolina has surrendered through the air, giving up 330 yards per game. Fortunately for them, I don't think Kentucky can exploit it. I think South Carolina wins and goes to 3-0, but this game may be a little bit closer than what the number indicates.
Todd Furman with us, presented by Baker Roofing. Todd, LSU at Mississippi State. What do you think about that one?
This is a game where I think the Tigers need to be on upset alert. You look at what Mississippi State has been able to do the last three meetings in the series, and no game has been decided by more than 5 points. Last year was Mississippi State spotting LSU a pretty healthy lead before they had a furious comeback and just came up a touch short. Mississippi State, very impressive in dispatching Louisiana Tech last week, hanging 57 points on the Bulldogs down there, and that was a game that actually opened at a pick, got bet as high as 10, and you were able to sit in a rocking chair and collect. LSU, this will be the first week they face a living, breathing opponent. No knock on BYU, but the Cougars have set football back about 100 years through their first couple games. So Nick Fitzgerald will be able to really challenge an LSU defense that I'm sure welcomes the services of Arden Key into the fold. This number gets a 7.5. I think the Mississippi State Bulldogs definitely worth a look as a live dog.
Well, Todd, Kansas State, a ranked opponent coming to visit Vandy. I was a little surprised at this line. I thought it would be bigger.
This is one of the more interesting games that I don't think will get a ton of national attention, but it's a measuring stick game for both teams. All of a sudden, Vandy's dominant win over Middle Tennessee State and Murfreesboro looks that much better when you see Middle go on the road and win outright as an underdog against Syracuse last weekend in the Carrier Dome. Mm-hmm. Kansas State, well, they've had two tune-ups. They absolutely embarrassed Charlotte a week ago and were able to do what they wanted, when they wanted. This number did open around 3. You've seen a little bit of money come in, push this number north of a field goal. The more interesting move for me, Don, this total got as low as 46, and it's kind of what you would expect for two teams who are more methodical offensively. Earlier today, the number got bet up to 52. I'm not sure I buy that as real money in the market. I still think this will be a lower scoring game where that half point could come in handy. However, for Vandy, Kansas State won't get caught looking past the Commodores. They've said they'd love nothing more than to go in an SEC venue and announce that the Big 12 is here to play.
Clemson and Louisville, Todd, I cannot wait to watch that game.
I think there are so many interesting angles to try and attack here. First and foremost, will Lamar Jackson be running for his life? I know he's only been sacked twice over the first two games, but anyone who's watched the Cardinals against defensive juggernauts Purdue and North Carolina knows that those sack numbers should be a lot higher, and it looks exactly like the same offensive line that surrendered 27 sacks over the last four games of 2016. Clemson, we know this defensive front seven is as good as anybody in the country, if not the best, but it's a young quarterback going on the road at night in the hostile territory, laying points. And Dabo's track record as an underdog against ranked teams has been outstanding, 13-7 in 20 such occurrences, only 4-9 against the number as a favorite the 13 times Clemson has been in that role. I think this game could be a little bit lower scoring. I love a home dog as much as anybody. I'm just not sure Louisville matches up, especially losing their starting running back and a major injury in the secondary to Jaire Alexander. He'll be a game-time decision.
Let's talk a little NFL, AFC South, Houston at Cincinnati. Can Houston rebound?
This is a game where the number opened 3, and it has been a steady flow of professional money betting the Cincinnati Bengals like they already know the final score. And that's not necessarily because Deshaun Watson will make his first start at this level. It's more to do with the Texans' offensive line. Clearly, there were some major issues in protection. Whether or not it's all attributed to Dwayne Brown or a number of other things, you give up 10 sacks to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a bit problematic. Defensively, I didn't think Houston would be as good this year as they were last year, although they performed a little bit better than the final score indicated. But so many injuries for Coach O'Brien's team. You have to call up a tight end from the practice squad. I don't love laying this many points in a short week in this type of scenario, but you have to respect the money coming in on Cincinnati. I don't think the Texans can score 2 touchdowns.
That's the Saxonville Jaguars, Todd. What about Cardinals at Colts?
So if the Jaguars get blown out by the Titans, though, we go back to calling them the Sucksonville Jaguars, right?
Let's hope.
That's kind of how we spin it. The Cardinals and Colts. This game, I think, is an overreaction to how bad Indianapolis looked coming out to the West Coast against the Rams. We knew coming into that game Scott Tolzien was a place filler more than anything else. He's not going to be Andrew Luck or anything close to it, and mistakes just kind of snowballed. You give up two defensive touchdowns, a safety, and all of a sudden that game looks awfully ugly. Arizona, though, for whatever reason, this number would have been 3.5. It's out to 7. The Cardinals didn't look any better in losing to the Lions. That offense looked like a pop gun type attack. And now you lose David Johnson, his 2,000 yards from scrimmage a season ago and 20 touchdowns. I think Arizona definitely not warranted as a full touchdown favorite. But if you're going to bet the Colts, this is a game you put in the bet, you don't watch it, and you hope you check the final score and they only lose by a field goal.
What about Dawn's game? Louisiana Lafayette at Texas A&M. Aggies by 23, I think I saw.
Yeah, this is a big number for Texas A&M, who we can say was a little bit hungover, to say the least, last week in dispatching of Nicholls State. I'm still not sure what the Aggies' identity is, and so laying over 3 touchdowns here gives me cause for pause. That being said, Louisiana Lafayette provided less defensive resistance than most 7-on-7 teams a week ago when they took on Tulsa. So if you're A&M, you know you should be able to play bully ball in the trenches. And when you see D'Angelo Brewster run for 500, 600, felt like 700 yards against ULL, Texas A&M probably should only have to throw the ball 5 to 7 times. The back door could be open, though. Would lean towards the Raging Cajuns here, but no real conviction.
What about UCLA at Memphis? UCLA, a 3-point favorite on the road.
This is a game where I think books were more than happy to try and embrace as much money as possible coming in on the road favorite UCLA. Flying across the country for an early kickoff, Memphis has talked about how important this game is to kind of announce that they need to be seriously considered as a viable football program. Should be close to a sellout crowd in the Liberty Bowl. And when you look at what UCLA has done, so much made about Josh Rosen, but if you even get down 44-10 to another opponent, I'm not sure you can fall into that elite or even very good category. The Bruins have been absolutely gashed on the ground, giving up 330-plus yards per game. I think Memphis will run the ball effectively. They'll try and play keep away a bit, and UCLA has Stanford looming in the distance a week ahead. Don't be surprised if the Bruins are a little bit flat, Memphis chomping at the bit with 2 weeks to prepare for it, and the Tigers win this thing outright.
Tennessee Titans now up to a 2.5-point favorite in Jacksonville. Why the line move, and what do you think about that game?
I think this is, you hate to say it this early in the season, but it's almost a must-win type scenario for the Titans. The problem that I have is we knew that the Titans were retooling on defense, and I don't think it was the defense that was the problem against the Raiders. It was the fact they were only able to muster 16 points against the Raiders defense, who I have targeted in the bottom third of the entire league. Now, maybe my projections are wrong, and the Raiders will be much improved on that side of the ball. But if you're Tennessee in your home opener, you need to be more effective running the ball. You can't get yourself in third and long and expect Marcus Mariota to bail you out every single time. This number did open at a pick. You've seen professional money come in on the Titans. But I think if we're talking about this number getting towards 3, you will see some very real money coming in on Jacksonville. Not a game that I really want to invest in, but I think we'll learn a lot more about these two teams. And hopefully, for the sake of Titans fans, we're talking about them being 1-1 after 2 weeks instead of sitting in an 0-2 hole.
Yeah, Saxonville with a 2-game lead with a win over the Titans. All right, Tennessee, Florida, some more line movement there. Florida, a 5.5-point favorite, down to 4.5 today. What's going on?
I think the Vols become the beneficiary of a legal system that doesn't work in conjunction with the football program in Gainesville like it does in Tallahassee, because if this was Florida State, Jordan Scarlett and Antonio Callaway would have been cleared of all wrongdoing, and Jim McElwain would have them out on the field for a big SEC East game. But Hurricane Irma has slowed down the judicial process, and I think that works into Tennessee's favor. We saw Florida once this season. They couldn't move the football at all against Michigan, but there are a lot of teams that are going to struggle against the Wolverines' defense. Mm-hmm. They're going to find it easier sledding against a Vols team who, despite their win against Georgia Tech and the win over Indiana State, I still think has some questions on the defensive side. This number, largely public money, though, coming in on Tennessee, taking the number from 8 where it opened at betonline.ag down to 3.5, 4 in some spots before there was resistance. Honestly, I would love to make a case for Tennessee being a live underdog, but I need to take a wait-and-see approach with Florida more so than anything else. I think this is going to go a long way to determining the Vols' success. And one thing that I really didn't know, honestly, coming in, you look at what Butch Jones has done. He gets a ton of derision for his performance. Believe what, he's 17-4 the last 21 games as Tennessee's head coach. Not exactly a bad record for Butch to put together.
Yeah, he'll tell you that, too.
He did today.
Yeah, actually he did today.
Although, he said it in his press conference.
And although, I didn't even listen to the presser, so we must be on the same wavelength apparently then. Great minds think alike, and we can all be champions at life.
Butch and Todd, best bros. Hey, on the way out, will the Indians ever lose again, Todd?
You know what's interesting about baseball futures? This is the first time all season that the Los Angeles Dodgers are not the odds-on favorite to win the World Series. The Indians' number, Mickey, over the last 3 to 4 weeks has gone from as high as 8-1 to a shade over 2-1. But I put an asterisk by their performance. When you play the Tigers what feels like 17 times in this 21-game win streak, I mean, they look worse than the Bad News Bears with the lineup they're trotting out there. But Corey Kluber making a strong case to be the American League Cy Young Award winner, something that we all probably thought was going to be impossible given how dominant Chris Sale had been early in the season.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, every Wednesday at 4:30 at Todd Furman on Twitter.